Hi. Gay is not sin. Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight.
That's right.
You cannot find in the Bible any place that condemns gay people. Now, we all basically have this idea that John 3:16 is a quick way to understand that everybody can get saved. That all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Christ. There is another scripture that kind of helps you understand John 3:16. It is saying that you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then you confess this with your mouth. Confessing with your mouth, a lot of places, a lot of churches, a lot of meetings and everything, they ask people to come up and get saved, you know, accept Jesus, so they pray a little sinner's prayer, you know, God, I believe you're the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and you rose him on the third day, and he paid the price for my sin. Come in, forgive my life, you know, this is some kind of simple prayer like that. This is called the sinner's prayer. That means everybody in the world is a sinner. We've all sinned, and so we have to pay the price of it someday. Christianity has the Bible, King James Bible. I want you to know that absolutely. King James Bible, if you're reading another Bible, you're reading the Satan counterfeit, and I'm not saying that lightly. You better read the King James Version. Tells you that there is a plan, that there is a segment of time. It's about 7,000 years. We're starting that 7,000th year now. And in it tells us that God had a son, his only son. That's what God calls him, my only son. And that he came to earth. He came just like you and me, basically, you know, he was born, lived, and then he was crucified. We believe this in our heart, and usually we're saying some sort of prayer, like I just said, you know, God, I believe that Jesus is your son, and that he died on the cross type of thing. But you know, if you keep this inside, you're not fulfilling the part of it that actually initializes and brings into effect your salvation, as it was, and that is to confess it with your mouth. So, and so these various groups will say, hey, now you tell somebody here, you know, there's people all around, they're seeing it, you're confessing with your mouth in front of all these people. But you could pray this prayer anywhere. And the thing is, when it comes up to the opportunity that somebody asks you what you believe, and you say it, tell somebody that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then you're confessing him with your mouth. And you can actually go over to the next door neighbor and knock and say, I accepted Jesus and this is what I believe. And you know, you don't have to do that. It's just when you have the opportunity, you tell somebody. And what you're telling them is that you believe. Nothing else. You can teach, you can do all that kind of stuff and anything else you want to do, but when you're confessing your salvation, that Paul talks about, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You are confessing that you personally accepted Jesus and believe that he is the only Son of God and that he died on the cross paying the price for your sin. Now, this is what salvation is about, is that when you accept Jesus, there is something that happens to you. He comes into you, and so you have a personal relationship with him. Now, what do you think a personal relationship is? Is it something we can walk around and claim, oh, we have a personal relationship with Jesus, he's my best friend? You're just claiming that? Oh, it's by faith. We speak it into existence. But you're just making statements? Christian, is this what you're doing? Just making statements about Jesus? That he is your personal savior? That he is having a personal relationship with you? What do you think a personal relationship is? Look over at your wife and see what you do. You say, hi, wife. How are you doing? Look at your kids. You know, hi, kid. How you doing? You going to work? Hi, boss. How you doing? Hi, fellow peers. Fellow workers. How you doing? How about let's go here and this after work, you know? You know, you're having a personal relationship. I got a problem. I'd like to talk to you. And sure, I'll listen to you. You know, I had this problem once, too. You know, people talk to each other. They go do things with, hey, let's go bowling tonight. You know? Who are you bowling with? A group of people, you know. You're having a personal relationship. Personal relationship means that you can then later on tell somebody else the personal relationship you have. I went bowling with a bunch of people here, and you know, and this guy and that other guy, they're from over that side of town, and the other one's come from over there, and this one's just come across the state over here, come in here. It's all, we have a little team here, and we won this time. So you're telling somebody else about a personal relationship that happened, because it really did happen. Christian, this is what you and Jesus have. Not claiming. You're sitting in your house there, sitting down week after week after week. Finally, you go to somebody and you tell them, oh, I had a big thing over here that I did with a bunch of people. Who? Well, you just lying to your teeth because all you did was sit in the house. You didn't have any personal relationship with them. You want to just claim it so you don't look so bad. A lot of Christians are out claiming to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You're just not having it. Personal relationship with Jesus means that you can tell somebody about the things that you and Jesus did together. Because, you know, with Jesus, it's personal. Hey, John, let's go to the lake. Jesus? I don't want to go to the lake. Oh, let's go work in the yard instead. Jesus. Oh, that's okay, too. I kind of like gardening myself. Let's go out there and dig some weeds. You know? This is what you can do with Jesus. He's a personal friend of yours. You can talk to him. You can tell him everything. You can tell him your troubles. Don't pretend like he knows them. We're not interested in this idea that he actually knows every single little thing about you. You can't tell him anything. He knows you like the back of his hand. That's not a personal relationship, people. You don't need to talk to me because I already know all about you. No, that's not how it works. Jesus wants you to talk to him like he never heard your story before. You and I had a good time. Jesus was with you, you know. But, boy, you come home and you want to really talk over your good time with Jesus. Of course, most of the time, you know, you don't really actually hear Jesus talking back, but you can feel that he is listening. You know when somebody's listening. You can feel it inside your body. You know, you just know. You have this kind of, I don't know how to describe it. You feel. We like to say we feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, the presence of the Lord is in this place. We have all kinds of words and everything. So that means that we have to assume that we can actually feel Jesus. And you need to be doing this kind of stuff. Now, you see, Jesus really, what words that I always heard in church, gentlemanly or something like that. You know, he doesn't go and barge in and rudely shake you and wake you and say this and that is, you know, I don't agree with what you're doing, all that kind of, no, he doesn't do that kind of stuff. Because he didn't say he was going to do that kind of stuff. Did you hear me? He didn't say he was going to do that kind of stuff. Come over here and slap you silly every time you do something wrong. He's going to be there for you. He's going to be there to help you pick up the pieces. Yes, there are certain circumstances that he's definitely going to intervene when you're doing something wrong. Generally speaking, he does not do that. You just do things wrong, and he's not going to say that you did something wrong or not. So we're sitting in our pew and everything, we're praising God and singing all that, and then maybe we want to condemn this group and the other group and whatever. And we think, you know, Jesus is still with us. It must mean that he's bearing witness that what we're saying is right. That's not what Jesus does. He don't sit there and say, I'm going to just sit there and condemn you every time I don't agree with what you say. See, we have 2,000 years to deal with here. If you sit there thinking that you're going to be talking about Jesus and the Bible as a you got a monopoly on it or something, or that there's no other Christian, somehow you got it right that we could forget 2,000 years of Christianity, you're crazy. But 2,000 years of Christianity tells you, Jesus is pretty something, you know. He's pretty a neat person. There's lots of kind of stuff that goes on. And look, we're here 2,000 years later. So what's your problem here? What's your problem? Why do you want to think that your way of Christianity is the correct way? There is a fundamental foundation of Christianity. We went over there in the beginning there. Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, the Bible, King James Version. We thought Jesus is different than other gods. Other holy books are not alive because they are talking about a God. They aren't a God. You get me? The Holy Bible, the Bible, King James Version, or, you know, the more accurate, received text. We don't have to receive text. You can't go to a grocery store and say, I want to receive text, the Texas Replicas or whatever it's called. So what you can do, the only thing you got, when you go to the store, you want anything to do with the received text, you got the King James Version. If you use any other kind of Bible, you know what you got? You got Westcott and Hort Version. Doesn't matter what the priests of your Bible could say. Oh, we went to the original and we did this. No, that's just not what happened, people. They went to the Church of England Bible that came from Westcott and Hort, which used the corrupt version and did not use the Reptus, the Texas Reptus, we call it received text. Can't pronounce that kind of Latin form of the name. But anyway, when you get this figured out that there's only one version out there that's gonna be right. You know, it's interesting about King James Bible and all the modern versions. See, you're thinking that. See, when you read a modern version, you assume, because that's what you're told. Your pastor said Jesus is the Christ. So when you read a modern version, you're assuming Jesus is the Christ. Every time you read Jesus, every time you read various things in there and stuff like that, you say, see, it's saying about to see your brain is conditioned to automatically put in the comma and the finish the phrase. Because you know that in the King James Version and what you taught by your pastors and various things, not necessarily your pastors are into the new versions too, and but you know enough, a lot of you, that Jesus is the Christ. But you don't know what conditioning does to you. It doesn't matter what you walk around so you know that Jesus is the Christ. What matters is what you're feeding into your brain. And if you're feeding in something, you see, the brain is interesting. You hear things, you see things, you're reading things and stuff like that. Different process. You could write stuff out. You know, there's lots of people out there that say, you write this out, you could learn stuff a lot longer. And just say, oh, somebody says, my name is so-and-so. Hey, great, you know, you didn't got a mate. Nick, they send me, which I don't know you, but if you write it down, you might remember it next time you come, whoever it is. When you write it down, your brain puts that in a different thing. You can, it's a little bit more strongly saved as a file, as it were. So when you're just hearing things that are coming in out of here, we don't have enough data space or whatever, probably do, but it just goes in and goes out. It goes into an area where you don't need, stored away, and only later on when you die and go to heaven and everything, then God can open up those files in your brain to remember every single word that you ever said. But you don't got the space to put it into your conscious to remember everything that you said. So you've got to pay a little bit more attention to things to remember things. So you're going on basing on one thing, so your brain is grabbing, I know this fact, but you're reading another fact. And your brain is saying, I know this fact. Now this sounds confusing. I'm trying to get you to think a little bit different way of what's taking place when you're reading a modern version. And what's happening is the modern versions are taking Christ out of Jesus and watering down the last days to make you confused about what's going to happen in the last days. Now, we've already got a lot of watering down process going on, even in the days that we had King James Version. So now we're trying to weed ourselves away from King James Version. No. You go to a church that was once, all they had was King James Version. Now you can't find King James Version in the place. And we sit there and enjoy the multimedia program they put forth us. We see all the verses they put up. Oh, it's whatever Bible at the whim of the pastor, that's the version that they put up at the end of the thing, you know. They say, well, I like the way it sounds. You know what I was always told, you know, if you don't quite understand it, you're gonna read all the other versions, and then by the time you get all these versions pieced together, you get a kind of all different kind of angles at the same verse. And so then you can pick and choose what you like. That's not the Bible, people. That's not how you read the Bible. You read the Bible by reading the these and the thous and all that. You know, Jesus didn't speak these and thous. It's just this way the cookie crumbled. He had King James authorize a revision of the received text into a modern language of the day, into the style of the King James English. Why God wanted that? There's some of you out there that has a pretty good idea why we wanted that. That must have been something about that particular year, that particular kind of English would be solid and last because of that. We can understand King James easily. We know what these and thous and all that. Almost people that never read the Bible even know what these and thous is and ye and all that. We seem to know enough and everything. We ain't lost anything because it was done in 1611. People need to read about the Bible and where it came from. Modern versions take out the Christ. You're being conditioned when you read modern versions, no matter what you know. And the only time that modern versions can have a good effect is if Israel was a nation, and so that before that generation passed away, Jesus will return, which means you have to have a rapture, which means that you're going to have people that are alive that did not die. If you die and believe in Jesus, you're going to get all fixed up going through death gate, washed in the blood, really scrubbed in the blood of Christ when you go through death gate and not done that. But if you're alive, this got to happen while you're alive before the rapture can happen. And what's Satan doing out there? You don't even know. You think you're casting demons and stuff out of people. You know, oh, this person's a demon. No, there's Satan here. And we all kind of like to say what we think Satan is. And we're not even close to fighting the battle against Satan because Satan has so deceived you. He's got an absolute army of leaders out there going to make Antichrist kingdom, and you don't even consider these people. If anything, you consider them Christian. And they're in league as deep as you can go into Satan. Hearing pretty words like, let's pray. And God bless America and stuff. Yeah, what God? They think the God that they're talking about, that's Lucifer, unfallen. And so, the deceptions are going to come, and then you're going to find out what this word that I'm talking about, conditioning. Suddenly, your remembrance of that Jesus is the Christ will become a fog because now you're so conditioned in the modern version that Jesus is not the Christ, or there's some fuzzy information about this information, we wash over and things about our salvation and things like that that are taken out of it. You should see the comparison when you sit the two Bibles together, the various modern versions, and then sit the King James Version up there and see the what is left out about what the Bible's all about, what our salvation's all about. What God's all about, what Jesus is all about, it's all gone away. 50,000 to 80,000 purposeful corruptions in these modern versions. And so, you are beginning to be ready because you will be alive when Jesus returns to receive the deception that's going to show Jesus loving the Christ. And all you have to go back to is the Bible that you're reading, the modern version. You will say, you know, you're right. These modern versions aren't actually saying that he's necessarily the Christ. I wonder where I got this idea from. Because you were always telling yourself that you remember the King James. You remember what your beginning was. The Bible is alive. No other Bible is alive. And it is, or we're a sacred book is alive. All other sacred books talks about a God of their religion. The Bible, Jesus, was the Word and is the Word, and he became flesh. The Bible is alive because the Bible is Jesus, as it were. So it's a living Word because Jesus became flesh. So we have a personal relationship with a real God that comes in with us. And so, therefore, when you go out about to try to condemn somebody that claims them a Christian, and you absolutely ignore their personal relationship. You can't, you know, you really can't. When history is done, it's done. When something happened, it's done. If God did something, he did it. And you can't wish it away. So if you come up to somebody like a gay person or something and say, you can't be gay, you know, like me, I'm 32 years a Christian. You know? So you're going to tell me to throw away 32 years? How do you do that? How do I go and say, Jesus healed me 3 major times? How do I say that never happened? Well, you'll try to explain all kinds of stuff about it. I was there. I know who I asked. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. And I know all the days leading up to that time. I know how I got sick. I know how the process of the instantaneous getting healed. I saw what I saw when the healing came. When the Holy Spirit came and poured on me to heal. I felt the thick oil and all this kind of stuff. I could give you exact details, second by second, of what happened. I was there. I have hundreds, at least 200 Pentecostal type pastors that came over and said, hey, I want you, meaning me. God is telling me, you, me, to come up there to the altar because I'm going to say a word over you in prophecy or word of knowledge or something. And they come over and they start rattling off, you know how you do when you're speaking prophecy and having word of knowledge and everything. I've been there. I know how I got there. I know what I was doing all before. I know what I was doing all after. And I knew what was said when it was said, and I knew all the people that were looking. I know, 32 years. I could spend hours and hours, days and days and days, telling you of the things that Jesus and me do in our personal relationship together. I'm on TV here. Do you think Jesus is not with me? I could come on here, just rattle on away, anything I want. You think I'm sitting up here lying like crazy? Boy, you're gay, you gotta be a liar. People, gay is not sin. And Jesus isn't asking gay person to change and be sure. You can invite me anytime you like to your church. Set me up with your pastor. We'll glad to preach there. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day. Come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Simple prayer, get you saved. Now read the King James Version. And get ready, because great deceptions are coming. See you next week. Oh, that if Christ